Welcome to Holden Village. In the Creekside Room, Kathy Sorrells will be speaking on engaging in creative process, inspiration. So let's listen in on Kathy.
I wanted to ask, maybe in reference to these, but then generally speaking, if anybody had other reflections, thoughts that are left over from yesterday's experience that you wanted to share with the group.
I was reading this morning in one of the back issues of Accent, there's a wonderful article in there using the idea of clay and the modeling.
Uh-huh, I read that, yeah. It's one of the potters, I think, that was here, read that, who's also a pastor. Yeah. Right, his theme. That's in the back issues of the Accent, right in the Resource Center, if anybody's interested. Oh my. Hello. Oh, Andy, you are so smart. Pay attention to show up. Turn it on. Oh, it's on. She did it for me. The light's supposed to be flashing. Yes, sir.
I need some guidance.
Yes.
Pay attention to the heart.
What has heart and meaning?
What has heart and meaning? Okay, now how do I do that without having to listen to everything and then deciding what that heart and meaning is?
Well, I think you do. It's just you basically are showing up, paying attention generally, but then notice what has heart and meaning, what's meaningful to you, and follow that. Does that make sense?
Well, yes, except to me. It's not, I don't just deal with me.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you do just deal with
me. No, I don't.
Ken?
No. Well, if I can back up, you asked me what comments of yesterday.
Yes.
I just make one small comment, and that's the fear of the unknown. I think I'm growing up and mature and older and all that. And you sit me down and make me shut my eyes and give me a ball of cold clay. There's a little fear of the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
What you're going to do. I'd like to think that would faze me at all, but I wrote that down and you asked us to write it. That's just a little bit of fear of the unknown, but it's about to translate it to all of you and different things you do.
Yep.
And the difference in us.
Right.
He waited for every single little word from you.
Mm-hmm.
And
And
so I got a lesson and it's better to learn to wait.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's very instructive. I think that to use these things as metaphors, one of the things I do is whenever I go out in nature, things happen that really tell me. I went out with a friend skiing a couple winters ago, and we came to a hill. We were cross-country skiing. Came to a hill, and we looked down it, and I just looked like it would be fun to me. I mean, you could see a path, and I just took my poles and took off. And I ended up in a hole. I didn't hurt myself, fortunately, but she carefully stood back and watched me fall in the hole, for one thing. And so she didn't have to do that, but she kind of skied down, you know, she traversed back and forth and came right in next to me and said, well, are you all right? You know, and I was fine. But there, certainly you can learn about yourself. And for me, it's, Jackie, it's not so much saying, well, the way I am is not right, but how do I balance that with another approach? But the fear we're going to talk about again. We haven't let go of the fear. It inhibits creation. It inhibits freedom.
He said, fools rush in where angels fear
to tread. Ah.
That's his first saying that I remember.
So it sounds like it's been a consistent theme. And, yeah.
I think this confirmed for me something that I've been feeling for a long time. It's the idea of being open to the outcome, not attached to it. I am far too much. For me, the product has been important. And I have to learn to let
Go and jump in. So, I mean, we all hear that maybe our lesson or what we would like to do is somewhat differently than the way we are. And also it's important to remember, as Ken says, maybe his is to let go a little bit more, take a little more risk, jump in. Jackie's is to hold back. Neither of those are wrong the way they are. And so it's not about blaming or canceling out who you are. It's how to balance it with the complementary side.
But everybody took a risk yesterday. Mm-hmm. He made them take a risk with the clay. And I think that's a very interesting thing in working with students. I found in creativity and mm-hmm. trying to get them loose. Mm-hmm. There are people who really hold back. They don't want to take risks. Mm-hmm. And yet, if you do, like everybody did yesterday, you took a risk and you came out with a creation, and whether you liked it or not, you did something mm-hmm. with taking a risk.
Absolutely.
Which is wonderful.
Which is one of the strategies for getting over the whole being holding on to perfection, I think, is to practice taking risks. We're going to get into some groups later and talk about some of those strategies, but I think you were asking yesterday, well, what are some very practical things I can do? And I think encouraging yourself to take risks and closing your eyes and making a pot might not seem very risky to some people, but it can be very risky to you. So don't compare yourself to others, but taking the small risks that do encourage you to move out of that place of safety.
Yeah, I was really aware of how much it's a personal kind of a reflection. It's so individualistic. Mm. And if I could read my thing, I'd take
yes.
it. I shared this with Kathy this morning. I wrote this after what we did yesterday, and so I would just share it with you. I will take that risk. What I was doing blind, by feel and alone. It felt wobbly, and I felt unsure. I wanted the outcome to be good, but without seeing what I was doing, it seemed unlikely. But would seeing bring guarantee of quality? Experience would say not. I could feel the clay's fragileness. It was floppy like a newborn child. It refused to hold a shape, try as I might to impose shape upon it. Like my life, I see myself in the clay, trying to take a form that will not hold. The edges keep bending and breaking, and I can see a blossom opening. I can also see myself as a young, tight bud, colors unknown and shape yet to be claimed. The clay is alive with my history. As my fingers move, I pictured myself unfolding through time. I too begin to bloom as my clay opens. My edges and the clay's edges feel very fragile, and as the potter, I try to move things around to bring more strength and permanence, much as God perhaps has worked with me. The pot has curves and irregularities, and I must look at it. I must also love it, and I do. It is, I am, an open bloom. Its petals are leaning outward and up, warmed by my hands. Its exterior is rough, cracked, uneven, without precision, but I find it satisfying in its uniqueness. It pleases me, and I am grateful for having it, my life and the pot.
That. Actually, I would like to ask you to read it again, if you don't mind. I think reading things twice is very helpful. You get a sense of the whole to begin with, but then you can hear more of the details. Mm-hmm. And also, I've got two really close friends who are leaving on the bus, and so I'll be right back.
What I was doing blind, by feel, alone. It felt wobbly, and I felt unsure. I wanted the outcome to be good, but without seeing what I was doing, it seemed unlikely. But would seeing bring guarantee of quality? Experience would say not. I could feel the clay's fragileness. It was floppy like a newborn child. It refused to hold a shape, try as I might to impose shape upon it. Like my life, I see myself in the clay, trying to take a form that will not hold. The edges keep bending and breaking, and I can see a blossom opening. I can also see myself as a young, tight bud, colors unknown and shape yet to be claimed. The clay is alive with my history. As my fingers move, I picture myself unfolding through time. I too begin to bloom as my clay opens. My edges and the clay's edges feel very fragile. And as the potter, I try to move things around to bring more strength and permanence, much as God perhaps has worked with me. The pot has curves and irregularities, and I must look at it. I must also love it, and I do. It is, I am, an open bloom. Its petals are leaning outward and up, warmed by my hands. Its exterior is rough, cracked, uneven, without precision, but I find it satisfying in its uniqueness. It pleases me, and I am grateful for having it, my life and the pot.
Ken, you want to read what you wrote?
No, because I just made a few notes when she asked us to.
Sue, I misunderstood Kathy's comments. I thought she was going out to get her two friends.
I didn't know.
No, she said the
language. I certainly didn't get that message.
No, they're out there getting ready to leave on the bus, and there's those two people.
And I thought she heard you going to bring them back in, listen to this, and then go.
I'm supposed to fill in the time for us.
That really impressed me was, I must open my eyes and look at it. You know, I mean, to me that's love, that you have to examine at some point what you are.
And it seemed that's what we were talking about, it was that kind of self-awareness that, you know, that you guys were really naming. You know, there's a self-awareness that comes, that becomes a kind of...
Kathy. And a revelation.
And yeah, and an empowering kind of revelation.
When did this inspiration come to you?
I started it in the class, you know, when she said write down a few things, and then I finished it last night.
Did you say, here's the subject of sermon?
I'm sorry?
Did you say, a sermon?
When I was done, I thought, well, maybe, now, you know, that's... I could do something.
It could be. My impression was that I didn't get too attached to the outcome.
I noticed you crumpled that up.
Well, Betty, you did something wrong. I don't know if it's in prayer or on your right.
Thank you. I don't think I could be totally responsible. It's all that reading when I was 2 years old.
Or totally at fault.
Back to you.
We Susan and I stole one of these, and then we find out it has a label on it, so we got to return it. But if you see the new ones laying around, it's about language. So that should be
yeah, the whole article. This is the new spring accent.
About language.
I think we can get something.
Because it is on language. It looks very good.
This article is on language.
This is one they're collating.
Do you subscribe to this? That we... It has an interesting amount given on the back for subscription. It says $6 for non-struggling students, the employed, people retired and more than Social Security, and pastors. $4 for those in the above category who would subscribe for $4 but not for $6. And $1 for the unemployed, struggling students, or people retired on Social Security. Or any dollar amount you choose to give. That's a good deal.
Oh, that's so
good.
I have to read that again.
Well, you know that a lot of fundraising things start out at, if they adopted that principle, would really raise more money because they'll start out as suggested contribution and you don't really afford this. But you know, $25 I can't afford. $10 I'm late.
So y'all don't need me. I'll take
it. Oh yes, we do.
So Frank asked us, and Carrie's going to get accents for everybody by the end of the class. So. Not knowing where you were, I'll just pick up what I was going to do. I am staying in someone else's room here who's gone out and is in Europe, actually. And last night I was lying on the bed and thinking about inspiration, but I was also thinking about the things that we've been talking about. And I came across something that I wanted to read to you all. And it's in a book called Stories of the Spirit... Stories of the Heart, parables of the spiritual path from around the world. So I thought I would just read these couple paragraphs, and then we're going to, you all are going to do some activity, so. Letting go can be said to be the essence of the spiritual life, the heart of spiritual practice. Beginning to let go brings in an immediate and profound revelation. We discover that it is when we are no longer full of opinions and expectations that we are truly receptive. It is when we are no longer afraid of loss that we begin to open in a wholehearted way to the world around us. In the discovery of aloneness is the discovery of what it means to be truly together with others. Letting go is an expression of compassion for ourselves and for love for the universe we live in. The spiritual life is to learn the joy of letting go. And that to me just sounds like a paradox in some ways, the joy of letting go. And this great art serves us in any circumstance, whether it is meeting the robber in our own cave or the inevitable changes in our life with grace. To let go allows us to live wisely. Life is inevitably a process of letting go into greater and greater capacities of being, from infant to child, adolescent to adult. Letting go of our fears and habits allows a more spacious wisdom to emerge. Moving through this changing world and letting go of the beliefs, the attachments, the fixed sense of ourselves, one day at a time, is to travel with a graceful and spacious heart. To release the old is to allow the new to be born. This is freedom. I particularly like the last two sentences. Moving through this changing world and letting go of the beliefs, the attachments, and the fixed sense of ourselves, one day at a time, is to travel with a graceful and spacious heart. To release the old is to allow the new to be born. This is freedom. And I actually typed that up, but I didn't make copies, but I will do that so that you can have a copy of it.
Sort of what Jesus was saying when he spoke about new wineskins for new wine.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
New wineskins.
Oh, wineskin.
New wine.
Yes.
Because the old.
Right. The old form doesn't work. If you just pour new wine into the old form. Right.
Would you repeat that to release the old?
It's quite right. To release the old is to allow the new to be born. This is freedom. What I want us to think about a bit now and have some conversation is, what is it that keeps us from being free? What are our fears? What are our attachments? What is it that keeps us from being free? And the way I'd like to do that is to get into triads, groups of three, and have you all talk about it together. And then I'll give you a series of questions, and then we'll talk about it as a large group. So you all can mix up in whatever way you like, choosing people, whatever. I think it's good to go ahead and choose somebody that you haven't spent a lot of time with, just so we continue to get to know each other. One of the things I usually do in this, I start looking around and see, are most of you sitting in the same place or nearly the same place you did yesterday?
No.
Some of you are. You move, yeah. Some of you have moved.
There's a reason for this. I have a little trouble here.
Yeah.
I sit close.
Well, that's a very good reason. It's also a way to challenge yourself a little bit. We tend to get into habits. Mm-hmm. I am sitting in the same place. I could have changed it around. But it can just help us to move around. So maybe if you'll select some people that you haven't spent much time with. And get into a group of three, do it quickly, and then I'll repeat the question and give you a time limit, a time frame for it.
You're going to stay here?
Well,
one more.
Are you?
Pears are okay too, if you're four is fine too. We're flexible. Three, four. So again, the question is, what is it that keeps you from being free? Another way of phrasing that might be, what are your fears? What holds you back? What are your fears? And another way to think about it might be, I can't be creative because, or I can't live my life creatively because. And boy, I could write down 10 of them real fast. So the idea is to talk about this, and I'm going to give you maybe 7, 8, 10 minutes to do that. And then we'll talk about, in this group, we'll talk about strategies to overcome the fears. So what's worked for you? We've all done it. Things that have helped us. And then we'll talk as a large group about that. So I'll give you about 8 or 10 minutes. Where you were, because we're going to get back in these groups. We're just going to talk for a minute. Large group for a few minutes, and then we're going to stay in these small groups again. What I want to do is right up here ask you again to tell me, what did come up when you said, well, what is it that keeps me from living freely? What is it that I'm afraid of? Why can't I be creative or as creative as I want to be? What is the block to myself being fully who I am? I'm going to write some of those things down if you all want to just tell me what you came up with.
Fear, failure, rejection.
We have all of this.
Fear, failure, rejection.
Resources.
Perceived lack of resources.
A loss of security.
Okay. Yeah.
Perfectionism.
Loss of security. Hold on just a sec. Perfectionism. It's a big one, particularly in this culture. There's a dictionary up at Margot and Jim's. We were playing a game the other night, and the friend of the dictionary said, for those people who want to get it right. That's all of us, of course.
That list on my list here was convention. I think that rules one's life.
Convention.
Along with that habitualness or habits.
Habits.
Oh,
no time.
We
think
about
that.
Yeah,
that was on our list too.
Past restraints and old patterns.
Yeah. Opinions.
Childhood baggage.
Yeah.
Childhood baggage.
That's a good one.
You have a perceived lack of resources. How about preconceived ideas about ourselves and things?
Very good. I'm just going to put preconceived notions, which has to do with old patterns. It has to do with childhood baggage. The messages that we've gotten about ourselves.
It's more of a childhood baggage.
Yes.
Some kind of baggage of shoulds and oughts.
Right.
And has, must.
I'm going to come back to you, Jackie, because I didn't get what you said. But responsibility, Andy, what?
I was trying to substitute that word for several words.
So having responsibilities that keep you from being as free as you want. And Jackie, you said?
Expectations.
Both our own and others.
Mm-hmm. What other people might think.
Uh-huh.
How
does that affect anybody in here? What other people might think?
Don't want to be different.
Don't want to be different. And actually, there are various cultures in the world where the word different also means wrong. And actually, in Japanese, the word is chigao, and it can take either meaning, wrong or different. Essentially, if you're different, there's some connotation of being wrong. And I actually think in this culture, too,
yes.
When we say, oh, it's kind of different, it's sort of a nice way of saying it's not okay.
Well,
that's true. What was I going to write here? Don't want to
be different.
See how easily forget? Others that are burning that we need to put up here. That's
lack of independence. Lack of independence.
So many other things are synonymous.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're interconnected. Yeah, they're very, they're slight shades of the same theme.
Yeah. Lack of control too.
What about your fear of outcome?
Yeah, I think that connects with perfectionism.
Yes.
But,
mm-hmm.
Along with fear of change, right?
I think a lot of older people are afraid of change of health or fear of change.
Yep.
Disability.
I think fear of change is true for all ages, and I think in some ways that the dimensions might change as you get older. But
And that's a loaded subject if you read like codependent no more.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes there's people who are addicted and they're person that's living with them and dealing with them doesn't really want them to change because that's the only thing they've ever known. And if that person really became well, they won't need me anymore.
Absolutely, and that's where we get stuck in old patterns. It's not just my pattern. It's how I interact with other people around me, and it's the grooves that we're all in that keep me from changing.
And that you don't want that other person to get well.
How about just being satisfied?
Or you want your kid to grow up.
You're so satisfied with how things are, you don't
change. No, don't make change.
Okay, that's a pretty good list.
Is lack of adventure one? I mean, are there some people who really just don't value creativity? That they're really, that satisfies me to think of that.
Mm-hmm.
But there are just some people who really have no desire to enter into any kind of
the kind that say, I'm just happy staying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't make waves.
Couch potatoes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like the word satisfied because actually it has less connotations to it that are negative. I'm couch potatoes.
Yeah. I think there are people who are just
interested in staying in that group.
It's not broken, don't fix it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay, let's talk about strategies. And again, we have an assumption here that we're trying to be more creative, that we would like to be more free, that our lives would be more full and rich and spiritually involving and engaging if we were more. So thank you for mentioning that, because that's the assumption that I'm basing this on, is that what have we learned in our lives that will help us move through these fears? And we might not want to. Just simply that. And that's a perfectly acceptable choice, certainly. But I know you all have learned some good things to help us move through these.
So do I have the freedom not to necessarily be much more creative?
I would say you do.
Yeah.
And I think in some ways trying too hard is one of our blocks. Can be. You know, again, we're getting back to the paradox here. But if we try too hard.
I assume the position of the devil's out.
Yeah. I appreciate that. I've noticed it too. So I'm going to put it over here. Right now we've got a blank page here for strategies. Is that how you spell it? I use the word a lot, so I've learned how to spell it. Good for you.
We suggested safe exposures. Take a course, read a book, allow yourself to investigate whatever you're interested in without really taking too big a risk.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like a measured risk. Measured risk. Or
this pen is dead?
Yep.
It's
talked about the need for reflection to sort of understand one's choices, to be with sort of preparation for moving into the creative experience. That you, it helps to feel like you have not done it recklessly, but that,
reflectively.
Participating community.
Pardon?
Participating community.
So having the support of others.
Yeah. That's a great one.
Right,
yeah.
That's what you're doing right here.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I have to say that I think that what you're doing here and the things we've done and what we're going to do really are taking safe expose. You're exposing yourself and you are taking risks. I mean, I applaud each one of you for you're still here on the third day. There are other choices in the world, you know?
The bus does leave.
Yeah. Yeah, Ken.
Grace likened this to some of this as to holding your nose and jumping into the cold water. You know it's going to be cold, and you know it's going to be all right, too. Mm-hmm. It's not momentarily pleasant, but if you go ahead,
right.
That's probably the safe exposure. It's a relatively minor jump, but still you have to do it when it's going to be cold.
Right. Mm-hmm. But it's a safe environment because, like Frank said, it's in a community. Yeah. Hopefully there are people to rescue you if you need it. Yeah.
And we know we're all judged better than
that. Right.
And you look forward to the invigoration that you receive when you do it.
I think
right.
It
does.
Yeah. Well, we were on a rafting trip, and here's this high ledge above the river where everybody jumps off. Mm. And it's rather safe. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they wouldn't have recommended it. But boy, it was scary. But man, did you feel accelerated when you popped up by the ground? I knew it. It was worth it.
That's why we had to swim in the river.
So in a way, what you're saying, Jackie, is doing it encourages you to do it some more because you get something from it.
I went one elder hostel. It was in Kentucky, and it was at a place that also had scouts. And the kids would be do it rappelling, and it was not terribly high. And the elder hostelers who came said, "Why can't we do that?" Mm. So now they offer it. As one of the things you may do, and I did it, you know, it was really safe, and you only had to have enough guts to push off, you know.
Right.
That's a strategy.
Right.
That's a strategy.
Guts to push off. But there's another one that you mentioned there, which I think is really fundamental, is that you ask the question.
Well,
you question the assumption that, well, it's for the young kids only.
It was preceding groups who had made that request.
Well, we do it.
They had it included now in the elder hostel program.
Right. But somebody along the line questioned the assumption.
That's right.
Which I think is what gets at the old patterns and the preconceived notions, is questioning the underlying assumptions.
And a lot of people said, I'd never do that. I thought, when will I ever have a chance to do it again?
I think you need to keep your sense of humor and laugh at yourself.
Keep your sense of humor. I think we're doing pretty well on that.
We are.
But I do think it's absolutely critical. And that's also an easier thing to do in community. Yes. Than it is by yourself.
Do the discipline of research and collecting information.
Mm-hmm. Do you have an example on that, Frank? For something in your...
Well, most any new endeavor, you need knowledge about it.
Yeah.
The process. Mm-hmm. I sure needed your instruction yesterday with this.
Right. And it could come from somebody else. It could come from reading a book. It could come from, if you're planning on learning how to windsurf, people take all sorts of different approaches. Some people watch a video about it. Some people just get out there and try to do it.
Yeah.
Other people take instruction. So, but doing the research and knowing, I think it's one thing that's helpful is knowing what your learning style is, knowing how you learn.
We talked some about trusting your intuition.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
That's right.
And then we also talked about forgiving your mistakes. That somehow you know that you can and will forgive yourself if it doesn't, if it isn't the right.
And how do you do that?
Yeah.
Right. The power of positive thinking.
You don't laugh at yourself. You fall on your face, laugh.
How do you forgive yourself for your mistakes?
Well, we talked about how you use it as a ground for wisdom and for the next endeavor. Mm. And so that it becomes not just a mistake, it becomes transformed into something that can be used for good. Like you're going to make 16 pots or whatever, you know, if you get it right.
It's part of the learning process.
Uh-huh. And you so see it as part of that, and therefore you don't judge it as bad.
Right. So you allow yourself to make mistakes because that's what helps you learn so that you can do it differently or better the next time. And that a mistake is only going to lead you further into what you want.
I think you can forgive yourself if you don't take yourself so seriously.
Mm. That you mentioned, you said
the power of positive thinking. We said we're talking about the attitude that mm-hmm. you have.
Positive attitude.
Yeah, mm-hmm. positive attitude is a strategy.
Which might come in a lot of forms, but basically it's saying, yeah, I can do this.
Yeah, right.
Might take a while, but yeah.
Keep your eyes wide open. I guess you rationalized to do that yesterday on the
wall. And, you said what? I was asking you to do that.
I think you were asking us to do that on the walk yesterday with
yes.
another person.
Exactly. To keep your eyes wide open. And I think I was, one of the things I try to do is when we do exercises with our eyes closed, is to realize what other parts of our bodies tell us things. You know, our hands, mm-hmm. our intuition, our feelings. We rely a lot on seeing. There are other ways in which we can keep our eyes open, not literally our eyes. Other strategies? Anything else?
I said question authority.
Oh, good. Well, I always like that one.
Well, you know, people that have been put down in the past. That's hard for them.
Well, that's beat out of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And along with it, a sense of freedom and a sense of creativity, a sense that that's a possibility.
Goes along with questioning old assumptions.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you've been taught that all your life doesn't necessarily make it true.
Which I think all of these take a lot of courage.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly if you've been told repeatedly not to do it, or you've had experiences where you weren't being forced for taking risks. So practicing courage, I think, is a good strategy.
Yeah. I'm trying to understand how we get ourselves into this thing. I can understand it if we're dissatisfied with our situation.
Uh-huh.
And then, so we know we're dissatisfied, and we start looking, consciously looking for some other avenue, to, you know, some way out of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's one way. And I can understand also that we may be in the rut, but we try something like this. Like this clay yesterday, and then that opens an avenue of expansion to us, and so we really like that. And then we, first thing you know, we're selling pottery and beating them. Those are two approaches I can see to doing this. I mean, there must be others.
And I'm going to twist a little bit away. So that's what I mean by paying attention to heart, what has heart in you. Because it was really meaningful to you to work with clay, and it was so meaningful that you're going to keep doing it, and then you're going to end up selling it and teaching these classes. That's paying attention to what's meaningful and has heart for you.
Well, in that sense to you, but you're dealing generally with community,
mm-hmm.
and what has heart and meaning. Okay, as far as I'm concerned, I mean, personally concerned, I enjoy that clay thing yesterday. I'm never going to do it again.
What are you saying?
You're going to have to take a long walk.
Saturday morning, I'm going to scratch that from my mind.
I'm sure, I mean, we can all play with clay.
Yeah.
we can't have too many potters in this world.
Who's gonna cook the dinner?
And you're trying to make the point.
Yeah, the point is that you value your time and you have talents and you decide, you have to decide, well, I don't guess you have to, but you should decide, I guess, where you're gonna.
Yeah, place.
You may decide.
Where quality times.
Right.
And to me, it's not play. And I recognize that early, so I don't waste a lot of time.
That's great. I mean, there's a lot of people.
And that's no.
Reflection.
No evaluation or disparity.
Yeah, I don't think.
About play. I mean, it's just. Maybe you've got some converts in here.
He's a doctor.
Yeah.
There's something to it. It is expressive. It is, and obviously you do it. So there are many others in your step. But I'll try to get the mechanism that gets you started. One is, as I say, a dissatisfaction, and so you consciously start looking for something else. And another one is something comes up and hits you in the face.
Yeah.
And then you recognize.
Right.
Are there other ways to get into the.
Are there other ways? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. What are the methods we can.
She means the motivators.
Yeah.
What motivates you?
Yeah.
You have to look around. You have to look, I think, and see.
Well, then you're consciously doing it.
Well, sometimes it's a person.
Yeah, a person.
A person.
Like your grandchild?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yes.
One of the things I think also is that you have to believe that you have perhaps some answers within yourself and not just look externally for answers to some things. And it seems to me like if there's a problem, to look inward and say, okay, now what can I do to help bring a creative solution to this problem versus wonder what they should do to fix this problem. You know, that
well, okay, that's a dissatisfaction. In a sense, you're dissatisfied with the way things are. There is a problem. There's a dissatisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
And then you use that to cause you to reevaluate things and then start looking for some.
So problems become the motivation for creativity.
Well, they often are.
Or as
some
I say,
it's a necessity or being drawn to.
For some reason or other, you try something and you find that it suits you. And there's possibility and potential, and then you develop that. But what other ways are there?
Well, let's keep that question in mind. I've got a few ideas, but we'll talk. Okay. We'll move into that, or remember to answer that question. See what comes up, because we're going to focus now on. I remember a couple of you weren't here when I asked you to think about this, but I asked you the first day to think about a dream or something that you would like to create in your life that you haven't done before.
A dream, not a real
so
dream.
Something that you've dreamed of doing.
I
would love to write a book.
Yeah.
That's one of my dreams. I would like to write a book. And I would like to create a book, write a book. It might be a garden, or I'd really love to spend time in Nepal, or, I mean, it could be any number of things. Whatever a dream of yours is, an herb garden. Is that you? We talked about that was yours, an herb garden. And I'd like you to talk back in your threes about what, I mean, you can have many, but just select one. Talk about what your dream is, or something that you've always wanted to create, or would really like to create. And then spend a couple minutes talking about how you might depict that. I'm gonna bring the tiles up for the table. And I'd like you might want to write a word. That might be your way of depicting it. Or for me, if it's writing a book, I might actually draw a book on the tile. Or if it were going to Nepal, I might draw mountains on there. You can use words, you can use a picture. I'm also gonna bring a whole bunch of moles that are down there that you can use. So if nothing strikes you, you can use the moles to make a design or pattern. But in your group right now, I'd like you to think about your dream, something you'd like to create, and then brainstorm with the other people how you might depict that visually. You may not decide to use that on your tile, but talk about it for a few minutes. Okay, is that clear? Tiles, and then I'm going to tell you a little bit about it. But first, before we start in, I just want to ask if anything came up that you want to share with the group from this discussion about what your dream,
something you want to create, and then how you might do that.
What's your the only way
we can prepare to do it is to do it.
Okay.
Stop saying that.
What is that?
A tree.
No, this is a bad.
Oh, go in it. Yeah, I thought about that too, but I can't think of it.
Okay, what the deal is here is you're going to have to share boards. And I made almost, I think, enough tiles. There's enough tiles for everybody, but I made some smaller ones, some half-size ones, and some full-size 5x5, and then some 2.5. So you can choose if you would like a small one or a large one.
Small one. Okay.
If there's not one the size that you want on there, just let me know. You and we're just going to dump these out. These are a whole bunch of different molds that you can press into the clay. I'll show you what some of them look like. I made a few test ones just to see if this. What I'm going to do after we're done is I'm going to take these outside and put them in the sun. And about every couple hours, I'm going to go out there and turn them over, and hopefully they'll come out fairly flat. And I did some mold ones. Things on there, the shelves. So you want to press down on it?
Sure. Yeah, I think
that's
some
stylus that
we need.
Yeah. I better use a mold rather than. And I also did one with some flowers on it, some irises. So I just used for that, to do the irises, I just used this into this. So there's a variety of tools here. There's all these molds, there's different things here. You need something else, you can ask for. You can use the end of this, you can use a knife, whatever. Okay? Now, the idea is if you'd like to go ahead and try to depict this dream, the thing that you want to create on this tile. If that just doesn't grab you, do something else. Do whatever you like. This is your tile, okay? And again, if for those of you who weren't here, I'm making a table, and these tiles are going to go in and probably be in the teacher's chalet. The teacher's chalet.
Everybody's going to look for the tile. Oh, to see if there's something. No.
Well, I'm going to go there and get something because I don't see my
own. I need a map.
A map?
Yeah, because what I'd like to do is a hot air balloon.
And maybe a loaf of French bread.
If you press something in there and you're not sure you like it, you can take your finger and smooth it out. There's also more tiles if you'd like. Draw it out first. If you need another tile, I'll be glad to deliver one. You can use those. Press them in. Folks, I've also got some pine cones over here. If you roll them on there, that makes a nice design. I brought some pine needles if you want to just press those in. There's some pieces of bark. I think everybody should stop your thing down and get a hand for actually doing this.
I see it. Come here.
Participating in
the secrets of success will not work unless you.
Yeah, really.
Oh, wow. well, that's true.
Andy, let's see. Andy?
Secret of success will not work.
Did you write that on your thing in your bio?
That's great. It's very, success will not work unless you do.
Unless you work.
I like it.
A tool or something. But I...
Just, who needs something? You need a...
You can use the back end of a ballpoint pen. You can use anything on that.
You can use your pen. Get all kinds of running. Be about to finish it up.
Yeah, I don't know how big that basket is. But I think it's about... Well, because there were three of us sitting here. So I don't know, somebody might have one.
I don't know.
I guess I have to write to the grants. I can write bird.
Remember this?
Yeah, that might.
Okay, try that.
Hey, there's one here.
Mm-hmm.
Or this.
I don't want to get clay on your
pen. Oh, it'll come right off.
She went to get a stylist.
Trying to get more.
No.
Here's a few more points and type tools. This one's very sharp.
I need a sharp one.
Real sharp?
Well,
I'll try to
have one.
Breaking the pine cone here.
Sure.
Look, isn't that interesting?
Oh, nice design.
Well, if you have a shoreline like this, and this is the ocean out here, this is a square like this, and this is the ocean, you can almost as if the light is coming over it. Does that work?
Well, that's what I need. That's why this isn't done.
Tell me about the sound.
Well, it's the
ear
hits the rock
mm-hmm.
and the crash
blows. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's like this. It
doubles back on itself.
That's what it is, I think.
Oh, that's
kind of a mishmash. But that's all right.
That's kind of nice. That's nice.
It's a place where the two feet is where the sound is. So if you have the taste sort of more playing out here, and then as these things come together, it gets more, it gets louder. It's literally a picture of the sound.
Oh, of course.
This is stark, but I just like the way it looks.
Maybe we don't need this line. And so these lines, it's just the bottom close together as they get.
I've got a nice space for a man to turn it to. I don't know how to draw it. I can't visualize it. It's kind of a life rock.
How would I get a rock?
No, you know, it's kind of rock. Like the state of Washington.
It's the same to rock.
Well, we could actually make this short or like this. How's it building?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Without the line.
Yeah, that line's gone away. Just make these kind of squigglies. You know, more rock. Yeah, so when these come together, and this gets closer to this, this overlaps, and this overlaps. So the center part is the rocks, and there's not like this.
No, that's needed.
Great.
Yeah, go to the top.
There's a top.
See how it looks?
There's a top.
I'm all done. It's just a little bumpy.
I want to draw a map of France, and I.
Okay. But we don't know France.
It's sort of in my mind like the state of Washington. I can't.
Yeah, let's see.
It's kind of. See, I got a little space here for France. And I want, then I could put burgundy in there.
Are we supposed to initial them?
If you'd like, you may.
I need something to draw the brush, something sharp.
You can see it, it'll fit right there.
Dorothy,
we can find it.
I wonder if there's.
I'm seeing Washington. I can't see anything but Washington.
Did you need something?
No, I'm done. I just wondered where it'd be at.
The finished ones.
Atlas. Is there Atlas?
Yes.
I'm going to go see if I can find one.
Oh, you're going to do it. Okay.
Are you going to sign yours, Ruth? Arcade. Put that up. I'll put in my dear. D-E.
Orange.
Okay, when are you going to do that?
Well, see, the problem is I don't think I should go up there.
I
actually
must want to see all that. Okay, I'll go to this. Unless you do. Oh, that was the slogan for me. Somebody wants a house.
Oh, dear.
I want to see yours. What are you? What's your dream?
A mountain, trees, and a stream, a road, whichever.
Oh, and you sign your name, your initial?
Well, I've got an H on it, at least.
Anybody got a pin? Real sharp.
Here's a sharp tool.
Which is better. Just need to get my needles out of it.
Yeah, and I'll, I'm not through.
Oh, I want something sharp.
Same sharp end thing right now there.
unless you were.
I can rent France.
Yeah, well, wait a minute, she's looking for, she wants to find an analyst for it.
I should have been with you.
When I get.
Yeah.
A house in the house?
Oh, yes, yeah.
Very nice. Dramatic.
All worn out, creativity.
Are you done with your water? I'll take the glasses back. Your old friends?
Can you lift these off?
Do it over.
You can lift that picture, maybe it's over there, have a print. I'll take the glasses back.
Can you see my dream?
Looks like a moving door.
What?
Basket.
Great. And where do you think this is in the world?
That's hard without proper tool.
We're gonna draw a map, but we can't draw.
Why don't you make, like, a trial?
France.
Work.
Yeah, that's.
I think I should play a little book some more. Buy a little gift for a little child.
Yes.
We just bought a picture right here. Oh, I see, okay, I didn't even see it.
Yeah, you couldn't recognize it by.
Yeah, well, it's not a command.
What did you do?
Nothing.
Where is it?
I printed something.
This would be pretty to press on.
Oh, yes, you have to get, I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, I wasn't even seeing it.
Are we going to the
Oh yeah, when we leave, you go hiking.
Who's gonna listen to the tape of the, see the ceiling?
We're gonna do it now.
And hear the tape that tells about.
So how's everybody doing? If you'd like to sign in, that's fine. When do you go hiking?
Sure. Whenever you'd like.
Thank you.
You find me on that?
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
If not, we can look for another one.
That's okay.
Folks, about the hiking, what I would suggest is that it's a lovely hike. And as our journey in our creative process, it's lovely however far you get. And that this is not about getting to the top, to the lake, but about getting as far as you want to and you feel good about and feels good to you.